see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
So before we get to this week's episode, we did want to offer our listeners a trigger warning. We will be discussing themes of depression and suicide during this episode, and you can check our show notes for the time code so that you can skip over that section if you'd like.
And if you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
This week on The Bachelorette, it's Bennett versus Noah. Two men enter the arena, one man leaves.
And then, like, a bunch of other guys also leave.
A bunch, because it's almost hometowns, and Tayshia still has 9 guys hanging around. So that can only mean one thing. An incredible elimination bloodbath.
Here to break down everything with us is Natasha Parker from Pilot Pete's season.
Natasha, it's been a minute. I have not seen you since basically the last day before everything shut down for COVID. A big meeting day for us. But for those of, you know, our audience who might not know who you are, remind everyone who you are, what you've been up to during COVID, which has lasted forever.
Hi, Emma. Hi, Claire. How are you guys? I'm happy to be here. And yes, Emma, what a day that we will never forget. Yes, that was, and it was a fun, great, it was a last supper, right?
It was a last hurrah. Yeah. It was a last hurrah.
It was so very, very good. And yeah, I'm Natasha Parker. I was on Peter's season. I left right before Hometowns, which is right around this time that we're getting into Bachelorette world. And it was very sad, for me. It was very not, I was very heartbroken when I left. I don't think people saw a lot of my relationship with Peter because we had a very normal relationship. You know, there was no drama really, if that makes sense. If I did have drama, it was with him, like telling him like, boo, wait a second, what's going on here? You know? It was a great experience. Peter's a really, really great guy. And, I wish him nothing but the best.
Well, you were really the voice of reason on your season. So we are excited to have you on the show. We've been wanting to do this for a while. Mm-hmm. And you are out in LA right now.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. So I'm out in LA. I've been here for 2 months. I'm going back to New York finally on Sunday. But I hear that they're shutting down New York when I get home. So, you know, that's lovely. But I've been here. It's been great. I really have enjoyed the sun, to be honest. I've been podcasting. I am podcasting with Clickbait right now, which is also a Bachelor Nation podcast, and it's been great with our lovely bachelorette and Joe, Grocery Store Joe, who I love as well. They've been such a great addition and to my quarantine lockdown life, you know, talking to them every week. It's been really great. And we just grill Tayshia all day, every day. Like, Tayshia, tell us everything. She's like, I can't.
Okay, well, this is great. So you have, you know, certain insights I'm sure you'll be able to share as we recap. So, you know, obviously, spoiler-free podcast, we all know. We're not going to try to bait you, but, you know, we are excited. Mm-hmm. And now let's get into it. Does everyone remember that we started this episode during a two-on-one, which is the same place we left the last episode?
Yep.
I have to block it out during the week or else I don't know how I would function. All I would be thinking is Noah or Bennett, who's going to come out on top? And so I had removed myself into a state of blissful ignorance. But that is what we are brought back into. And we're brought right back into the moment when Tayshia is sitting between the two of them on the couch, having just gotten them to reveal their teenage boy drama, and is asking, what's in that box? Ugh. Which is the gift that Bennett brought for Noah.
I was really hoping that Tayshia was going to make them, like, go through all the items and just, like, reprimand Bennett in that moment. But unfortunately, she's just like, I'm too good to even engage in this. Like, Bennett can...
Yeah, the moment she heard that the gift wasn't for her, she was over it. And I love that.
Yes. I respect that.
I will say she didn't seem pleased. No. Like, Bennett says, oh, that was a gift I gave to Noah. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, no.
Do you want to go talk?
Tayshia's facial expressions during this entire segment were just absolute gold. Mm-hmm. Like, just the face that should launch 1,000 memes.
Yeah, I will say the body language. I was looking at her body language when she was talking to Bennett. She was so over it. And, you know, because we podcast together, it's like I just know her so much more now watching it opposed to, I guess, when it's hard because it's like I started watching The Bachelor once my season started. So I went back and I watched like Rachel Lindsay's season. I went back because I did an interview for her season. I went back and I watched some of Nick Viall's season because it was tied in, you know. I went back and watched Paradise. I went back and, you know, I watched a few things after my season. And now like seeing Tayshia on Paradise and then like knowing her and seeing her on this, it's like, I'm cringing for her. When she was talking to Bennett, I'm like, oh, she want to slap him in the face. Oh, she just want to walk away. Oh, she just can't take it right now. You know, like, I'm like, oh. So I feel for her so much more when she's having these like, when there's these cringy moments, you know, like, I'm like,
oh. Yeah. You're like, oh, I know that face. Oh, she's not pleased. Yeah. I mean, also, can we talk about the fact that Bennett just launched into like the exact same speech he gave Noah. Like, he only had planned that one thing. He was like, let me tell you. Mm-hmm.
He was like, this speech works for both things. And I see no reason to edit it in any way.
Yeah. And also, you know, I dealt with this on my season it was, you know, Tammy and McKenna went on a two-on-one and there was a whole big discussion about that. And it was about her age and everything. And, you know, I love Tammy. Tammy and I are really good friends. And I wasn't very close with McKenna, but I still told her. I was like, babe, you're wrong. Young people get married every day. Insecure people get married every day. Jealous people get married every day. Like,
it's true.
Was like, you know, we can't really say that. You know, we can't really say that these people aren't ready for marriage. In the sense that, or that someone else is more qualified. Of course, we all think we want, you know, we're more qualified or we like the person more, or whatever you want to call it, or more ready. But to say that, you know, Bennett, I really disagree that he can say that someone is not right for someone else when you aren't that person. And I like Bennett, but I disagreed. Hard disagree.
I found it difficult to like Bennett during this whole arc. And especially during his appearances on this episode.
So you guys are Team Noah.
No, I'm team none of them. Like, send them both home. They both kind of suck. Like,
I was Team Noah before his mustache left, and now I'm Team Noah.
Wow, you're Team
I was.
Yeah.
Claire has a real soft spot for mustaches. She felt the same way about Dean's. Like, she's into it.
Right. Don't tell Greg. I don't think I want one in my personal life.
Yeah, you just want to see them from afar.
Yeah. But what I found interesting about this conversation is that Tayshia does seem so annoyed and over it. But what she says is at odds with that. Like, she keeps saying, like, oh, I really have feelings for you, and this is really hard, and, you know, I'm confused by what I'm hearing. But her whole body language is like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And I wasn't really sure which thing to believe. And she's like, please just explain why this drama is going on and why you're questioning me by saying that Noah shouldn't even be here. And this is when he reiterates his speech about the four competencies of EQ.
Oh my God.
Self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. Noah has deficiencies in three of the four. And I have a hard time seeing this beautiful, thoughtful, intelligent, very decisive, strong-minded woman ending up with him. I was not questioning you. I want nothing more than to love you up and to get back to everything feeling so natural and easy and great with you. There's just something about the way that when he, like, smiles and compliments her that it makes me more pissed at him.
Yeah, none of it feels particularly genuine. And I don't know. I'm not saying, like, he's intentionally trying to be disingenuous, but it, like, it just doesn't come off well. Also, it always annoys me when people apologize that other people feel a certain way. He's like, I'm sorry you feel that way. That's not a real apology. You have to say, like, I'm sorry I affected
right.
you.
Right. That's not very emotionally intelligent of you.
Yeah. Speaking of deficiencies.
By the way, what makes him think that saying deficiencies repeatedly will come off well? That word sounds so eugenics-y to me, especially when, like, delivered by, like, a square-jawed white dude who went to Harvard. He's like, what I need to be doing is going around and pointing out other people's
assessing deficiencies.
Assessing their deficiencies on, like, on some sort of metric scale. Like, it's not a good look.
Well, his metric scale. It's like,
his metric scale. No, my boyfriend was like, he pointed out that it didn't seem like Bennett was, like, expressing any genuine emotion. It more felt like he was like, sir, I deserve this promotion.
Mm. Wow.
And, like, the other candidate does not. And I was like, that's really astute. And
I will. Okay. So I will say this. When having confrontation, at least in my experience on the show, it's different than you talking to your boyfriend at home. There's no one else there. Right. There's no one to come and be like, can I steal you for a second in the middle of your talk or whatever? You know, there's like, you almost get it. Like, I'll never forget, like, you know, when we had like the Hannah B date and we were all, like, really pissed at Peter for canceling our thing. I wanted to have a real conversation with him, of course, about this, but, you know, 1 minute later, someone's like, forget that noise. Hey, come on, let's go talk. You know, so you have this, you kind of build up this, like, anxiety that you don't have a lot of time to say what you have to say. So you thought about it, and now you just have to blah, 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 blah. So being on the other side, yeah. I kind of get where it seems like, you know, Bennett was like, okay, I want to tell her this. I want to tell her this. I want to tell her this. I want, you know, and it was very, like, boom, 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 boom. So it's hard because you don't have that time to just sit back and be like, ah, babe, let's talk. Let's get a little drink. Let's talk this thing out. Let's, like, really, like, let's be here for 3 hours and really get it over. You know, like, and really get through it.
He's like, no, I have 10 minutes. I will tell you what I'm saying, and I have prepared a speech, and I will repeat it multiple times. I mean, the thing that bothered me is I actually, like, was Team Bennett initially a few episodes ago. And I just feel like all of the things that he did just, like, dug himself a giant hole. And then he kept digging. He was like, I've just delivered my speech. Now I'm going to very condescendingly say to Tayshia, who I just acknowledged is extremely self-sufficient, like, you got this. I'm like, you're not.
Oh, yeah. That you like, got this was like.
Father.
Well, like, but also it's like there's no. I think there's also a level of like, you know, Noah said that he's condescending. So, and of course, we don't know this person in real life. But condescending, if you are a condescending person, then that means you think of yourself higher. Right. And if you think of yourself higher than this, of course, girl, you got this. There's no way I'm going to be you're not making that over this. What? You know, like.
Right.
So oh, it yeah. was almost like I felt that a little bit. I was like, ooh, that's bad.
I know you're like, oh, Bennett. Yeah. And then we get to Noah, and Noah, I think like he's annoying, too, but he handles it better for himself in this moment. Like. Mm-hmm. He's basically like, you know, I hate that I'm the center of drama, but it feels like Bennett thinks that he's better than me and he talks down to people. And then Noah does a thing that annoyed me where he's like, I'm just worried, not about myself, but about the fact that this might happen to you, Tayshia. That's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah. What did you guys think of him saying that?
I was annoyed by it because it's not true. Like, Noah, we know that you're upset by the jabs. We know that there's only so much of it you can take. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to be bothered by a guy being a condescending dick to you all the time.
That doesn't mean he's going to be that way to his partner. Is that what you mean?
It doesn't mean that'll be that way to his partner. I do feel like I understand, though, the concern that, I mean, sometimes you treat a person differently when you're in the courtship phase than you do
True.
When you're actually partnered, and then that's when they're the person who is around you all the time and they are the person that you have the opportunity to unleash your truest self on. And if your truest self is thinking you're better than everyone that's around you and your natural mode is condescension, your partner is likely to encounter that. But I think personally, I think Noah should have kept it to how it was affecting him, because if you're saying, you know, I can take it, then, well, why didn't you? Why didn't you just take it and shut up and let me figure it out?
Well, I personally, the one thing that stood out to me in the Noah conversation is that, you know, Noah lets her speak, whereas in the other conversation, Bennett didn't, it was all Bennett, mainly Bennett speaking and saying his piece, and Noah was very much not interjecting and well let me tell you you know, like he was like listening to how she felt, and even the approach again, that body language, the approach that she gave Noah was a like the conversation was just a lot more this is how I feel, why, you know, like why isn't it this or that, you know, it was just very different. And yeah, I think both of them, you know, from being on the side, it's like you do want to focus on your relationship more and you want to stay out of drama as much as possible. But also, once someone comes at you, you also want to defend yourself and be like, hey, I'm not like that, or whatever you want to say to that. But I don't know. It was what do you guys think about her decision? That's what I want to know. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I think it's interesting, you note the body language. I definitely felt like Tayshia was insisting that she had strong feelings for Bennett and that she didn't want to send him home, but her body language with him was so much colder than it was with Noah. When she sat down with Noah, she's much more smiley, she's much more open, she's saying, you know, I'm just worried, I want you to clear things up for me, basically. She seemed more open to him from the beginning, which is why I was surprised that she did end up sending home Bennett and keeping Noah for the rose ceremony.
Well, I will say with Bennett, I do think that she really liked him. And I think that she was, like, let down and, like, disappointed. Like, yeah. I had high hopes for you, man. Are you serious? Like, that's the, like, that. Because, I mean, Bennett's hot. Like, I mean, we're New Yorkers.
I just don't see it.
I'm sorry. The New York vibe. I think he's hot. I think he's really cute. I think he is very different than all the other guys on the show. Like, and True. He said that and he recognizes that. And I think that also, you know, whatever that is, whatever, if it's real, if it's not real, people are like, he's such a character. I've heard that a lot of people say that. You know, I feel that he really let her down, because she, in every other interaction, he showed up, he did, you know, he did all these things that she really liked. She talked about him so much in her interviews. she let him down. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like he forced himself out the door. And I think that was the thing, is that he just dug himself such a hole that she had to send mm-hmm. him home, because he was being such an obvious yeah. dick. And like, you don't really want a partner who acts that way, especially when, you know, she has a bunch of other guys that she's
that
super into who don't act that way, who actually like are extremely like warm and generous with their actions and like are not condescending at all, even though they are very intelligent. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but she's still attached to this idea of who she thought he was.
Yeah, I mean, that's
to
really
me, I guess maybe it's because I went to an Ivy League school and like the Bennett type is so familiar to me, but like, it's not obnoxious. A good type. It's not a good type. Like, I don't understand the appeal. Like, he's so attached to his own elite status. He has this sort of, he's very like aware of his like good looks and his money and his privileges, as Noah would say. And like from the jump, I was like, this is not going to go well. Like a guy who's that impressed with himself because he went to Harvard is not a guy that is going to play well on this show in the long run, is not a guy that I would want to have a relationship with, certainly. So like, to me, this was not a surprise. I was very surprised by how many fans seem to be into it, but maybe it's just like an allergy that I have.
I feel like most people,
Princeton has lots of them.
By the time that we got to here, most of Bachelor Nation was just kind of over it. And I do think that this is something you see when people go on two-on-ones. Even if you like survive the two-on-one, you usually just kind of ruin it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, we know Noah's not going to last long after this. And I actually loved that, you know, she sends Bennett home and Bennett is very obviously shocked and like is lingering and seems to be thinking like maybe she's going to change her mind. And Tayshia seems surprised at her own decision, but she sticks to her guns and she's like, you're going home. And she walks back in and Noah is just like smirking. And
Noah,
Tayshia shutting him down so bad.
So good.
Like, she that was amazing.
She comes back in. Noah has been like chugging Tic Tacs, which is very clever for production to include that. Like, oh, he thinks he's going to get to make out now. Like, he's preparing.
She's like, no, you don't even get a smile. You don't even
get a smile.
That was so good.
I wrote, now that Bennett is gone, I hate Noah again.
Oh, gosh.
And Tayshia's like, no, don't be smiling. That wasn't a victory for you by any means. That was hard. I did have feelings for Bennett. And
she's so good.
This wasn't how I wanted to say goodbye to him. Yeah, this is not good for Noah. And he seems to realize that pretty quickly.
He's like, oh. He's just like, his face falls. And he's like, I have been reprimanded. I will... go make myself more suitable husband material now.
Yes.
I love how he's like, yeah, I know I'm a suitable husband. And I was like, Noah.
Yeah. Is this
some sort of Victorian novel?
Yeah, he's in the Regency era. He's like, I am on the marriage market and I must comport myself.
Yes, he was watching The Crown.
Yes. Yeah.
I love how Tayshia did that too. How Tayshia was just like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. This is not great. Don't be smiling. Don't be happy. Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, and I feel like Noah had handled himself pretty well up to that point, and that's why he was staying. And she came back in, and she was like, oh, another guy acting like a
entitled
dweeb.
Idiot. Entitled dweeb is good. Finally, the other guys come in, and I think Tayshia is just very relieved to be spending time with people who aren't named Noah or Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's time. I can't believe, like, I'm exhausted already at this point in the episode. I can't believe she has to have a whole cocktail hour and rose ceremony at this point. I was like, Tayshia needs a union. Send her home.
Let her get some sleep. Let this poor woman get some sleep. That's what I was thinking the whole episode. We get a really nice moment with Riley and Tayshia here, where he kind of whisks her off and gives her some cake to mark their the 1 week anniversary of that like little relationship contract that he had written out. Some people were confused and thought that he was referring to like, I've only known you for 1 week. But no, I think this is a callback to their boyfriend, girlfriend contract. Very official.
So sweet.
He has to remind her of it. It was very sweet. And I love how he said that he knew that it was a stressful day, but that she handled her business. And that's what he wants in a wife. And I was like, yeah, supportive, but not patronizing, not overprotective. Just like, I love that you handled that. And like, I'm here to applaud you. That's a good look for me.
That is a good man. I like Riley.
I really like Riley. I was like, he, there's so many moments in the season where I was just like, the real ones see you, Riley. We see you. We feel you. We get it.
Yeah. And see, he's a better brand of New York guy.
Oh.
Than Bennett, in my mind.
You got to have both, because we live in New York, and we...
You got to have both, yeah. Exactly. It's the beauty of the city.
Exactly.
So many different kinds of guys to never call you back after that one dating app.
Yeah.
Zach brought her a framed picture of them from their wedding shoot date, and they just seem very comfortable and like into each other at this point. Like, it's just a prelude to them making out.
Yeah. You always know things are going well when it's like, let's have a little chit chat and get down to the making out, because we just like both really can't keep our hands off each other. So Zach, I feel like Zach and Brendan, Tayshia really has that vibe with, just like, I want to make out with your face all
during
the time.
During her chat with Brendan, it almost felt like they were uncomfortable talking, because they're both like, we both just like want to make out, right? But I guess we should talk first. Like, how's your day going?
Yeah,
good. I'm really growing in my... And like, suddenly they're making out.
They definitely, whatever that thing is, they got it. Her and Brendan, you just feel it. You see it. You feel it.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Brendan tries to lean in for a kiss, and she's like, oh, you want to kiss me? And he says, can I? And she says, no. And I was like, oh my God. She's really schooling him on consent right now, but she was kidding. I appreciate that he was willing to stop when she said no.
Yeah, he listened. Yeah. That's good. That's a very good sign. And,
but
I know,
like,
I really like Brendan.
She's like, no, you can't kiss me, but I can kiss you.
Yeah. She's like, I'm coming in.
I'm the bachelorette. I'm in the driver's seat here.
So good.
Then JoJo comes in. I still am like, oh, right. JoJo is the new Chris Harrison for a little bit.
I know.
Bit
I keep
here.
Being like, why is JoJo here?
She's so pretty. Oh, she's so pretty.
She's so pretty. Mm-hmm.
I know. If I were the Bachelorette, actually, I would be like, can you have another guy who's like Chris Harrison's age be the fill-in?
Yeah.
I like them all to continue.
Just like bring another middle-aged man.
Exactly. Or like, please, can we have her in like a trash bag, please? Just put her in a trash bag.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she should have to wear a suit. I think just like a Chris Harrison cut suit.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah.
It would have been funny. She still would have looked hot, but I feel like it would have sort of sent the message that she wasn't the Bachelorette.
Yeah, she would have still looked. I mean, I don't think it's possible for JoJo to not look hot.
Honestly, that would have been really funny.
Also, I love a good power suit on a woman. So I am...
I'm thinking Chris Harrison's actual suit. So it's like big and bulky and like on her.
Yeah. It's like falling off of her. Like the arms are too long.
So like a David Byrne type situation or something.
Exactly.
I would love that. And it seems like she has to give Ben some kissing tips. It was a quick little moment,
Tayshia, not JoJo.
Well, we're talking about kissing a lot. I will say on our new episode of Clickbait that we have coming out very soon, Tayshia drops some hints on who's the best kisser.
Okay. This is the information I want.
Okay, so everyone needs to tune in.
On Friday.
When did the episodes come out?
Friday. Yeah. We normally come out on Thursdays is normally when we normally have our episodes released, but Friday is this one, so.
Just wait an extra day. It's that delayed gratification,
you know?
Yes.
I was there was one that really surprised me. I'll say that. I was like, oh, really?
Okay. Oh. I'm like, was it Ed? Because I'm concerned. I hope she never made out with Ed. It's just like, I've said this before, but it's just like, Ed benefited so hard from like the Bennett Noah drama and the Claire switch, because like he should not have been there past, you know, week three, and yet he is still hanging out, and he like has the gall to be like, I am so mad that I did not get my time. I'm insanely mad if I don't get a rose because Noah took up time. I'm like, my guy, you have been not getting a rose for like a month. Like, just be grateful your face is still on television.
At this point, it's very confusing. He's more in a relationship with Chris Harrison after him going to his room than with Tayshia, right?
That was some of the realest intimacy that you're going to see on this franchise.
Yeah.
Just two guys having a drink. Every time the camera pans across the couch of guys and Ed is there, I do a full double take. I'm like, who?
Why? Why?
Why?
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll have a whole lot more with Natasha Parker.
Okay. So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes,
or a form of Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now back to the show. But it is time for the rose ceremony. We've already had two guys go home this week, Bennett and Easy on his one-on-one date. And this week, meaning like this cycle, this rose ceremony cycle. And so there are going to be three more leaving. That means 5 people will be cut from this cycle. Yep. Only 5 roses.
Ben and Zach already have the roses also.
Right.
So yeah. Everyone
who has already has the roses?
Ben and Zach. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from their group date and one-on-one. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the roses go to Brendan, Riley, Blake, Ivan, and Noah. And Damar, Spencer, and Ed are going home. Spencer and Ed, it's like, who, why, okay.
Spencer got the first impression rose. I have never seen a first impression rose winner on The Bachelorette, fall so hard so fast.
Me too.
Like, it's like he took himself out of the running because he was so spooked that the guys thought he was too cocky. Yeah. And he was
Spencer
like, never mind,
had got
I'll
one
never speak
episode.
To Tayshia again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, no, Spencer got one episode.
That definitely happens because it's that's where, you know, it would have been interesting if Claire had done the whole thing, because you never got to really see Dale in these group settings, in these group dates, in these things, and like getting hit, you know what I mean? Like, you never saw that. And sometimes that is what happens, you know, you really do fall back. You fall back and you're like, people are mad that I'm like hot shit, you know? And then some people own it and they're like, yeah, I'm hot shit, like Bennett. And then some people are like, oh no. Like, cause I mean, Spencer is a very handsome guy. He's very handsome. So I'm sure him coming out of that limo,
he's super cute.
He was like, whoa, yes, right? But I mean, he fell back. He didn't. I mean, there's clearly a lot of alpha males in this cycle of men.
They seem.
I feel like
for
Spencer
that.
Was like, look, I'm just gonna give up on Tayshia and focus on making friends. And honestly, I relate to that. I probably would do the same thing. I'm like, I don't want to be in conflict with everyone I'm living with. Like, whatever. I mean, it's fine.
He came in. He made a couple jokes that like I would personally have made to break the ice. And the guys reacted like he was an axe murderer. Like, it was such a strong, like, shunning instinct. And, you know, I remember reading in Dr. Joe's interview after he left last week. He was like, oh, Spencer's such a sweet guy. He's really great. And I'm sure to be, like, suddenly the target of so much hatred and you're, like, a sweet, pleasing person, your instinct is just to be like, no, guys, it's cool. Like, you all get time with her and, like, we're going to hang out over
here. I'm very safe. I'm non-threatening. It's fine. So, yeah, we say goodbye to Spencer. We say goodbye to Damar, who was one of my, you know, personal faves.
I loved his earrings.
I really loved his maroon suit. It was
his style was a vibe. Yes, his earrings, his style was a vibe, definitely.
Yeah,
and
but
he's like
I think
the
he's
only
gonna
one
do...
who really gets a goodbye, like, goodbye segment. They kind of brush these men out the door. He just gets a minute to be like, oh, you know, it's hard to open yourself up knowing that this might happen. And then it's like, bye, Damar, bye, Spencer, bye, Ed.
And Noah is still there.
Noah's still there.
But I suspect not for long, honestly.
They actually air a Men Tell All teaser later in which Noah is featured. So I was like, okay, I guess
he's not in the final four.
Don't care about spoiling this one for us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think they're just like, you're all over Noah. It's fine. So the next day, JoJo comes in again, fulfilling Chris Harrison duties, and is like, guys, good news. Tayshia's falling in love. But things are getting really serious because next week is hometown. So sort through your feelings. And, like, the men are shook.
Yeah, wait. So there's
how many she doesn't
men
tell
it
them.
It's eight.
Seven.
Oh, seven. Seven. Yeah, okay. So that.
Seven. And there. So it's going to go down from seven to four.
Right. So for that week, for me, it was six of us, actually. So, yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think usually it's six, but because the timing is all messed up, they're like having to cut people.
Her first rose elimination, and then there's been a whole lot of weird stuff going on. Also, JoJo doesn't explain what hometowns week means. So if I were them, I would be like, "Am I going to be hurled into a cauldron of coronavirus?" with Tayshia, or is this going to be a Zoom thing? Yeah. Like, is anyone going to tell us what the safety
like,
precautions
is
are?
Is my family already here quarantining? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, I think that's why. I think.
And I guess we'll find out.
I think that's why Zach started crying. He was really thinking about his. He was thinking about his family, and he's like, "Wait, how's this going to work? Wait, what?"
he's like, "Please, I don't want my parents to get COVID just to meet Tayshia. As great as she is,
And
yeah,
after everything they've done for me."
Right. Like, Zach and Riley, like, no, also, because they're from the New York area. They're like, we've seen this. Like, we don't.
And they both seem, like, to have a lot of emotions, specifically the two of them bound up in Tayshia meeting their family, Zach, because
true.
His mom and dad have seen him through so much unhappiness, and he wants them to see how happy he is now. And Riley, because apparently there's stuff about his family that he feels like Tayshia needs to know before, but he doesn't really want to talk about mm-hmm. it. And so before that happens, it's time for Ben to have his one-on-one. Ben, falling in love is full of surprises. Mm-hmm. Which is true. And we know Tayshia loves surprises.
And this date starts out, like, really cute. They're just zipping around on scooters doing, like, goofy scavenger hunt things. I'm really loving these, like, ragtag dates where they're just, like, running yes. around and acting like they're at summer yes. camp.
They're like, how can we make this date where they're just walking around the resort different from a different one? I know. We will pinatas. Hide clues in a pinata and a bin of tennis balls. There's something, though, about, like, seeing them go through the whole resort with no one there. It's very, like, creepy. It's, like, post-apocalyptic. Where are all the people? Well,
like, the rapture has occurred and only the Bachelor cast is
yeah,
left.
Well, that was the, like, with Easy's date, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is, like, the aftermath. It's, like, you know, the date. It's, like, Ben's date is, like, the day yeah. the day later. Everyone's gone, you know?
The ghosts have won. The spirits have won, and this is all that's left, and they must forage for yes. food. In the pool of tennis balls.
Yes, that's really funny.
I guess the whole treasure hunt is just leading them to where, like, a bottle of champagne is set up for them, which is slightly anticlimactic because my understanding is that there are just bottles of champagne waiting for Tayshia all over the resort. But they sit and chat a little bit, and Tayshia's like, you need to open up to me. It's getting late. You know, I finally saw a little bit of your inner self the other night, but, like, it was almost too late, and I need more. And that kind of primes him, along with, I'm sure, a lot of producer encouragement for a very revelatory night portion of the date.
Yeah, this is, like, a very intense date, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Natasha, because it felt... You know, we'll get into the actual conversation, but it felt like, from a viewer's perspective, that there was, like, a lot of pressure on Ben to kind of deliver his trauma in order to prove that he was able to be vulnerable and open up. And I had just such mixed feelings about the whole thing. 'Cause on the one hand, like, I think it's really powerful. And when, you know, you hear these things that these men have gone through, like, it makes me as a viewer feel much more connected to them. And I'm sure it makes Tayshia feel much more connected to them. But whereas, like, the Ivan conversation felt like a back and forth, like just a real dialogue that two people might have about something that is, you know, tough and deep and personal, this with Ben felt like a little more one-sided, like a reveal. And it gave me a little, just like a little bit of ickiness.
Maybe we should throw in trigger warning, because we are going to get into talking about Ben and his conversation with Tayshia. So trigger warning that we are going to be discussing depression and suicide during this segment.
Yeah. So he kind of says, you know, Tayshia understandably is like, I feel like there's all this stuff about Ben that I don't understand, and I need to, like, know what makes him tick. She said this basically since day one, that she feels like he's too perfect, like he's saying all the right things, and, like, that he's trying to display a perfect image. And I can understand why that would make her feel, like, sort of uneasy, because she also is a person that clearly likes people that put it all out on the table, likes people who are a little, like, goofy and weird and not scared of their own weirdness. Mm-hmm. And Ben says, like, I was raised in a house where perfection and looking the part was expected. Mm-hmm. And he had everything materially, but was left wanting emotionally. Mm-hmm. And then he went into the military, which, like, honestly seems like a place that would not necessarily provide more emotional right. care. You know, like, that's a very intense setting that is just predicated not on like on breaking people down and following orders and, you know, keeping people safe, you know, within a military unit,
it seems like it would play into his
right.
pre-existing
exactly.
need That's, to play to look the part, to be disciplined, to maintain perfection yes. and standards.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Claire. That's what I was trying to say. Could not find right. the words. I appreciate
you. Yeah. So it's just and that might have been the draw to the military is that, you know, I've kind of had this way of living and now I'm going to go have this training, but actually put this way of living to help my country. Right. So
sure.
I get the draw, but also now that he's out of it, I understand how that can be traumatic and how that could bring trauma to yes. someone, because we all feel things. And if you don't feel open enough to say how you actually feel, because of how someone's going to react to it, or just because you're not trained to do that, to say how you feel, I think that it would be very hard. And I think that you can pick up, especially when I look at like the leads, it's like you can pick up on people because you're talking to so many people and having so many conversations with people. And after having think about the one-on-one that she had with Zach, like, and him opening up about his addiction, you know, I'm sure that wasn't easy, but also if this is a person you're going to marry, I think you want to, or get engaged to, you want to know these things that's happened personally in their life. So she felt probably like, you know, and maybe he could have been like, no, this is just me. I was raised like this. My family's perfect. I'm perfect. Everybody's perfect. Everybody's happy. But, you know, and but the truth is that's no one's life, right? Like no one's life is just perfect. That's just not how things are. And right. I think she picked up on this, I don't want to say it's an act or a facade, but we all want to, she wanted to lift up the rug, you know, she wanted to see what was underneath.
Sure.
And him, you know, I will say that on the show, if you watch the show, like I said, I didn't really watch the show before. I didn't watch the show at all before, like a full season before I went on it. And if you do watch the show, there is a level of opening up, like you said, to feel closer to the people that you're seeing. And, you know, I'm a lot older than the girls that was on my season. So I've had the time to work through the things that I went through and my childhood traumas through yoga and meditation and mindfulness and all the things. And I'm at a really good emotionally stable place, I think, you know, that I worked really hard to get there, but right. I was already there. So the conversations that Peter and I had were more about life opposed to what happened when I was younger and things that kind of carried on and why, you know, in relationships, why things, you know, I worked through why things didn't work out, or when I was in toxic relationships that really were awful and that hurt me and was traumatizing towards me. I kind of worked through it already. So to bring it up when it's not a problem, it didn't really seem like it was a thing to do it with my relationship. But if it's something that you're still actively kind of dealing with, if that makes sense, and like he said, I mean, he said his suicide attempts were in 2018, 2019. That's so recent that
yes.
I think, you know, maybe if it were a long time ago, he might not have brought it up, but I think that he's still getting, he even says, I just told you this and it's okay. You're not running away. You're not. But at the same time, I'm sitting here watching this and I'm like, I mean, how do you not give the guy the rose that just unloaded all of this, you know, whether you liked him or not, you know, it's like you really do. So I get what you mean as far as the ickiness behind it, but also it's something when you open up on this show, it's something to ensure closeness, and people think that it's more of a guarantee that you're gonna make it further. It's more so like you said, it's a guarantee, like you get closer to these people and you see that, you know, they're not perfect. And we really needed to see that from someone like Ben, who has this perfect body and, you know, he looks like this and he looks like that, and he's so fun and he's so a breath of fresh air, I think, every time I see him on the screen with Tayshia. I loved how he mentioned her shoes, by the way. I love that. He was like, your dresses are great, but honey, these shoes are everything. I kind of love that. It's hard because these leads, it's like you think that, I remember on my season, it was, I feel like Ben is similar to like Hannah Ann on my season, in the sense that she was not the drama portion, but like maybe her relationship with Peter. It was just very, she was very happy. She was very much, I'm here for you. Let's do this. Let's do this thing type of thing. And he was trying to, I remember on her one-on-one, he tried really hard to get this emotional reaction from her as well. But I think Hannah Ann, just in general, she was a lot younger, but also she was like, yo, baby, I'm good. I want to be with you. Like, what? Like, what, you want me to cry to be with you? I mean, I don't know what you need me to do. Like, okay, I'll do that. But like, we good. I like you. This is a thing, you know? So I feel like sometimes when you have all these emotional people, there's a lot of crying on my season. When you have all these emotional people, you're like, wait a second, hold on. It's kind of like, you do feel like you want to know what's underneath. And with Hannah Ann, she just really was just, she's a happy person. And I fucks with that. People don't have it enough. I fucks with it. I'll be like, yeah, girl. Cause she's a breath of fresh air. She's funny. She's fun. Like not everyone, I think everyone filters their, you know, something bad happens and some people spiral. Something for other people, something bad happens and they turn to, you know, they dive deep into their faith. And I think, you know, sometimes that's what happens. Like me, something bad happens. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to go meditate. I got to go sort through this, you know? And then I'm like back. I'm back. Hey, guys, I'm back. I'm good. So, you know, he has to find his way. And I think him opening up and talking about it and not being, I think that, you know, and he said the key thing here, he said therapy. He was talking about therapy and that he is in therapy. And that's so big and so key. And, you know, it just, that also needs to be normalized. Let's talk about that. It's okay. It's fine. Let's do it. Let's go to therapy.
I completely agree. And I think that, you know, the thing that I did really like about their conversation, you know, he says he left the military after he broke his back, which is an incredibly serious injury. Crazy. He was in a new city. He felt very lost. He didn't know how to say that he needed things or needed help. And I think that that is very much speaks to the way that a lot of men are socialized to not know how to process their emotions, not be encouraged to express anything that might be, you know, seen as quote unquote weakness. And often emotions and mental health get wrapped up in that. And so I do like really appreciate Ben having the graciousness to share this on such a public platform. I guess I hope that he feels good about it. Like, that's what I always think when people share these really traumatic things and they open themselves up to a lot of feedback and a lot of, you know, potential criticism. I hope that he feels good about it, and I hope that it helped his healing process. And I'm very relieved that he does like have a support system of his family, which he speaks about, specifically his sister, and also a therapist. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
so what he says is he was in this very difficult situation, and he had two failed suicide attempts in 2018 and 2019, and that the only reason that he made it through was because of his sister, that she was the only person he confided in at that time, and that he's never told her that because he didn't want to make her more worried.
That's very intense.
The things that made me the most concerned are that this is very recent. And that's a huge thing. That's life or death, you know, to have gone through very recently. And we know that it's, you know, that sort of ideation can continue and come back throughout people's lives. And so we just really hope that his support system and his therapy is giving him everything that he needs and that he's happy, as you said, that he did this on the show. And I feel like maybe partly because Tayshia and Claire are both so deft with these conversations often, that a lot of the trauma conversations have been much more give and take than usual on this show. Like, this franchise does have a long history of kind of like, all right, tonight you need to tell her about your brother's overdose and how it affected you. Tonight's the night. And then the lead says, so, like, I want to know, like, what really makes you tick? And he's like, my brother overdosed. And, you know, I think that this felt more in that mold than most of the conversations that we've gotten. And there's something about it that just feels extractive. It's like, you can't help but feel the gears of the show working to, like, to convince the contestant, like, a rose is at stake if you are willing to give this thing up for public consumption. And that is a dynamic that is difficult to ignore.
But it's still up to you, right? Like, on my one-on-one, it was all love and light, and I got sent home. But at the same time, I'm glad that that happened, because it's like, this is me, right? So, also, so you, I mean, listen, the producers can say anything, but it's up to you. And I really do think that regardless of anyone who goes on this show is it's very much a mirror into yourself, no matter who you are, whether you go on the show and you're a complete jerk or whether you go on the show and you're a complete angel, whatever it is, you look at things that you would have done differently. You look at things that you would have, you know, said or shared more of when you see other things happening. But and the one thing that I do, like you were talking about my brother's overdose, right? One thing about this season, and maybe it's because the men are older than normal, these experiences are happening to them. They're talking, a lot of them, Zaxi, him, yes, like a lot of Riley, like these people are talking about things that happened to them, opposed to my brother's this, or, you know, my mom this, or my dad my this, parents. Or it's like, this is what happened to me. I was in the military. I tried to commit suicide. Some people, like some of the girls on my season, I was like, they're not even old enough to really, like, have a lot of stuff go on, you know? And so it is the remnants, because we do got to get over whatever happened as childhood trauma, right? Then you get into your life as an adult, and then you're like, now these things that I've, the remnants of the, so I do love that part of this season, that it's the guys are, it's just them, and they're telling their
and
truth.
And I think we do too. Mm-hmm. I think it's the real, you know, benefit of having a slightly older group of contestants is that you do get more such a diverse group of contestants. You just get a greater diversity of experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe, like, the sort of mixed feelingness comes from, like, exactly what Claire said, you know, the fact that previous conversations felt like more of a give and take. And I think, you know, I feel for Tayshia, because it's hard to know what to say when someone says that to you, and you want to be supportive, you don't want to say the wrong thing. And so it struck me as someone who, like, has not had a lot of experience speaking about depression and suicide, which, again, is totally fine and normal.
Right.
But she's sort of just like, thank you for telling me that. And which is not a bad thing to say, but, like, there wasn't a lot of back and forth, unlike how there had been in some of these other conversations. And, you know, I'm grateful that we're getting,
I think she was also surprised. Like, it wasn't.
I do think she was taken aback. Like, she says, really, at one point, when he says, like, he doesn't tell people this. She was clearly surprised.
Yeah, because she thought you were going to say, like, you know, you forgot to send your mom a Christmas gift one year or something. No. Like, no. You know, she, like the conversation that she had with Zach, you know, it was in sixth grade when he didn't, you know, the lie detector test thing, when he cheated on someone. Yeah, it's like,
right.
She was ready for that, right? And she got a whole can of right. worms, right?
Yeah, I think she was like, okay, show me your pain. And then she was like, oh, wow, this is very, very, very real pain that is like, and mental health is a life's mm-hmm. work. Battling depression, anxiety, any other mental health condition is a life's work.
We need tools.
And that's going to come up if you are in a partnership with someone.
And I think, as you say, like, often you ask for someone's pain on this show and they say something that is very sad, maybe, but that didn't happen directly to them, or that happened when they were a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom died. You know, that's very sad. But I think by the time you're an adult, people know how to respond to that. They know people who have gone through right. that. They've talked about it with a friend. And she is getting, you know, involved in a lot of these conversations that are so yeah. heavy that maybe she's never had to have before, like a lot of us. And that is new for the show.
I feel
also,
for her.
These yeah. one-on-one dates, they could have been talking for an hour and we see 5 minutes of it.
Right.
So that's
we see
yeah,
five
that's
minutes
another
of it.
Thing that we, you know, after being on the show, you have to, it's like there's so much more that you just don't see.
Right. The actual conversation might have been less choppy and less awkward than what we actually mm-hmm. saw. But of course, Tayshia does give him mm-hmm. the rose and she's like, I just wanted you to open up. I'm excited to meet your family. And Ben is moving on. And then we head to a group date with a very fake lie detector machine.
Yes, on the group date. Zach, Brendan, Ivan, Noah, and Riley. The truth is that I'm falling in love. Does anyone out there know of a lie detector test in which a green light bulb lights up if you tell the truth? Because my understanding was that it involved a lot of an expert staring at squiggles and interpreting them, but apparently it's just like
no.
Light on,
Claire,
light on.
Polygraph tests are very simple. JoJo has been trained.
It was very funny.
I was just like picturing like one of the producers in the back room being like, we're gonna fuck with Brendan right now. Red light. Like
the way that they did Riley, I swear to God, there's a producer back there that's like, we know that's not his birth name, and so we're gonna light that up. Because you ask questions to establish a baseline. There are no right or wrong answers there. The point is that you're establishing a baseline. So like,
well, so that was
I call shenanigans.
So that was another thing that I was like, okay, wasn't it three questions that they showed everybody of everybody?
They really skipped around.
Or
like,
was it
like there was a handful. Ivan got two, think. Like some of them, like we really, it was not
right,
even
that they showed. And that's why I'm like, I wonder if they asked these guys like 10 questions and then we only got the three good ones or the two good ones or the this or the that.
I mean, I felt really sure that they had like clearly picked these questions specifically for these people. You know, with Ivan, he's sort of like a shoo-in, right? Like there's nothing controversial. It's like, oh, you're aroused by Tayshia. How scandalous. And then like he wants children, like whatever.
Yeah,
Noah,
I'm sure they asked all of them questions like that.
Yeah.
Like,
but like Noah, they're clearly fucking with him because they're like, has anyone faked an orgasm with you?
Yeah, or the mustache.
He says no, but
I mean, so, and also Tayshia goes first. Yeah. So we do get a little lie detector
right.
for Tayshia. This seems clearly just there to set up the moment when they ask if she has any regrets about who's gone home and she says no, but the orange light for an indecisiveness goes off. And they're just trying to, I feel like they're just narratively, they're like, does she regret sending Bennett home?
Well, but so
it's a brilliant narrative tool to do that. It's like bringing up all of these questions, sowing seeds of doubt.
For me, the question that went off for me for Tayshia was when they asked her, was she falling in love with more than one guy? And she says, yes. And the camera goes to Zach and he's like, what? he's like, you
Zach
are
is like,
my
there
girlfriend.
Can only be
yeah,
one.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you are mine. I was like, at this point, Zach is like, yep, that's my woman, and you guys are the side pieces.
You
know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Big time. He's like, I'm the Dale.
Exactly.
Season.
Exactly.
That's how it should be.
Unfortunately, Tayshia is very kind and likes everyone.
Yeah, sorry, Zach.
Sorry,
Zach. So she gets a couple answers from guys that really upset her when Brendan says he's ready to meet her family and have her meet his family, and the lie detector says that he's actually unsure. Zach is asked if he's ever cheated on someone, and he says yes, like very quickly, like extremely quickly. And Tayshia's like, I mean, her marriage ended because of her husband's infidelity, as she's talked about. So she's really disappointed by this. She's like, once a cheater, always a cheater. And I think, you know, a couple guys sort of actually seem nervous and indecisive about the question of hometowns and whether they want her to meet their family. Riley also gets a little indecisive around this. And also the false light goes up when he says his name to establish a baseline, as we mentioned before, which I fully think is just production messing with him.
100%.
And Tayshia's like, these things did not sit right with me. I need answers tonight. So of course she puts on her formal shorts, high-low wedding gown, which was
naturally
like straight out of a Vogue shoot.
So good. It looked so good.
She looked amazing.
So good. And she's like, in this outfit, I'm going to get answers. Zach.
She's like, this is my detective outfit. Yes. I'm an investigator.
Honestly, same. That's what I wear to do interviews.
Yeah.
And she's like, so you cheated on someone that does not sit well with me. Loyalty is very important. I will never date a cheater. And Zach is like, let me put my hand on your shoulder and explain. My first girlfriend and I were in love, and then I met another girl, and I later met up with that girl at Bolarama, and I French kissed her. And clearly, like, with every detail that he's giving, he's expecting her to be like, oh. And then finally he gets to the end of the story and he has to be like, it was sixth grade. And she's like, oh, okay. So
you can
it's
just
not
see
real.
The relief. She was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, and she's like, I did it at Bolarama. I French kissed her. And she's like, still mad. Sixth grade. Okay.
I will say that when he was telling that story, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I would do. Because for me, that's why I'm like not a cheater now. Literally the same exact thing happened to me, not at Bolarama. But like, I was like my very first boyfriend that I ever had ever. I like kissed another boy and I felt like the most awful, ridiculous person ever. And then I told my boyfriend because I just knew he was going to break up with me because I'm an awful person. And he was like, that's okay. Thanks for telling me. I was like, oh, so you're not going to break up with me? This is not like the movies. I'm not a ridiculous person. You're not going to shun me for life. And he was like, no. And I was like, oh my God, I'll never cheat on anyone ever again. And I never did. So, Zach.
Wow. Look at that. I feel you. Formative young experiences where you're like, that guilt and shame stays with you forever. Yes. And you're like, I will never
do it again.
That's character, because you could react to that by being like, I guess you can get away with cheating, but you took a really moral and ethical lesson from it and moved forward with strength. And
I love that. I think me and Zach, we align there. We see eye to eye there.
Yeah. And as you said before, Zach is like, I hated that date, Tayshia, because I'm falling in love with you and I wish I had told you in a different setting. And she's
that
like,
I cheated on my sixth grade girlfriend.
And she's like, I'm falling for you too. Oof. And then they just make out a bunch, which is like, it's big for a lead to be, you know, reinforcing that, like affirming those kind of emotions.
She didn't even say I'm falling for you. She said I'm falling in love with you too. And in Bachelor World, that is like a notch above.
It's true. That's the next step. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, falling in love.
I mean, Zach is just like very like Zach is a front runner.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And she seems to be having like great conversations with everyone. Even though we only see a couple short snippets of Noah and Ivan, she seems just like thrilled to be in their presence. She sits down with Brendan and is like, why don't you feel sure that you want our families to meet us? And he's like, look, you know, they've seen me go through this before and get divorced. I don't want that to happen again. Like, this needs to be the last time. And she's like, yeah, you know what? Me too. And it helps that I really like you. And he's like, me too. And it's a very mature, nice conversation. But Riley is really sweating his chat because he knows he needs to tell her more about his family before hometowns. But he's really uncomfortable sharing it.
This made me so sad.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what really was happening.
I was like, were they having more of a conversation, or was he just sort of having like a little bit of a panic attack about having to speak about his family, like knowing that it was going to be on TV? But he kind of walks off from the men and crouches down and starts crying. And it was like, I just wanted, like, all of these men, I'm like, I want to give you a hug and I want to take you to my therapist. Yeah. Like, it just, like, not in a condescending way, and just a, like, everyone should be in therapy. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, want so badly for there to be, like, more venues for these men to be processing things that have happened to them. And I was just like, man, like, dudes really, like, aren't given that many opportunities to talk about their trauma and to process this stuff. And, like, that just felt very, like, apparent with Riley. But he does sit down with Tayshia, and he's still, like, very emotional. He's like, look, I have to share things that I don't normally like to talk about. And he explains that he's nervous about her meeting his family because things are rocky with them. And he says that his birth name, he was named after his father, Dwayne Henderson Jr., and that he, you know, we already knew he grew up with his dad. His mom was mostly out of the picture for most of his childhood and young adult life. But after, you know, when he was in his early 20s, he had a falling out with his father after learning certain things about, I guess, his parents' relationship, or the way that his father had acted towards his mother, and the way that his dad had kind of driven a wedge between him and his brother and his mom by saying certain things about her and getting sole custody. And so he, like, went a long time without having a relationship with his mom. And now he has a relationship with his mom, but not with his dad. And he, in order to sort of move forward, he decided he needed to legally change his name. And that's, like, really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And it also just seemed like when he was talking, at least to me, in thinking about hometowns, coming home to his home, it's not gonna be, hey, I went on the show and I met this amazing woman and I want to marry her. And people were gonna embrace that. It didn't seem like whatever is happening or going through, it seems like it's put some things in his life that's still very relevant. At least it's what it seemed like.
It's still fraught. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still a fraught situation with his family. And, like, I would imagine it's, like, obviously all of these men are having this conversation in the context of, like, Tayshia meeting the family. But we all know this is about, like, exposing their families on national television, saying, family, please come on this TV show and talk about our relationship and what you want for me. And that's, like, a big thing. Like, I would be very nervous about that too. Mm-hmm. Just because that's, like, a very vulnerable thing, and it's a lot to ask. And especially if you have complicated relationships with family members, like, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it seems clear that, like, he feels not guilt necessarily about his relationship with his mom, but he feels like things were taken from her, and he feels like she's had a really rough deal with regard to her kids. And so now he's contemplating kind of asking for something from her and, like, putting her on a national platform when that might not be her choice for herself. That's got to be kind of tough. And I wonder if there's a little bit of that for Zach too, that, like, when your family has gone through a lot because of you, that the thought of asking for something, whereas, you know, often the contestants, you see these people who have lived these very sort of comfortable, charmed lives with minimal trauma, who are like, my parents would do anything for me, and I'm comfortable with that. We're seeing so much more complex family dynamics here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I will say, you mentioned about, like, the emotions that we're having and that we're seeing. I would also take into account the pandemic and just how we
Yeah.
I think everyone is, you know, just one phone call away, one step away, one rainy day away from like bursting into tears, you know, like
I cry like almost every day for the whole pandemic. Exactly. So, yeah, I relate.
Exactly. So
it's true. We are literally collectively in a state of trauma all the time during this time.
Yeah.
So you have that on top of the normal lack of sleep and talking about hard things.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's almost easy to forget because this show does like create such a stressful situation that brings out a lot of emotion from contestants, even normally. And then it's like, oh, right. They're also currently experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The pandemic.
I remember when I was away, thinking about my parents because, you know, like I talk to them every day, at least one of them. I talk to them every day. And there was one moment where I just like I had a dream about my dad and I like had just this crazy panic attack because I was just like, I wonder if he's okay. I wonder if he's... And it's like, you know, you don't talk to them. But that's just in normal life when I did it. I can't even imagine during a pandemic, especially these men, if they care for their mom or their grandma or their, you know, someone in their life. It's very...
I think that that's a really good
point. It heightens the emotions, I think, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So this kind of brings us to the end of the group date. Tayshia loved all the conversations. She learned a lot about apparently all of them, at least a couple conversations. We definitely saw that. And so she says she can't give out the group date rose because it's too meaningful and she had two wonderful conversations with all the guys to pick between them.
I thought this was a good move. Like, I think it would have felt weird to like award a rose. It almost would have felt like you did the best at opening up about your trauma. And it's like she had all of these really meaningful conversations. It's kind of best to just leave it at like, thank you for giving your time and your energy and your emotions to me and sharing that, and like we don't need to like rank anyone here. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was actually smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she heads back to her suite for some much needed rest. And what should she find there?
Woman sleep. Dear God, let this woman go to bed. Like, Jesus. She looked so tired.
Her face was shock. Shock. When that gate hit her, it was like, oh gosh.
She was like, I can't handle this right now. Like, you can tell that she's like, probably had a few glasses of wine. Probably hasn't had any sleep.
She looked excited to see her, though.
I know. She clearly does have feelings for him. And she's like this. But she like couldn't process it. She was like, I can't really like make any decisions right now. Like, I was just like, she just wants to go to bed. She just is so tired.
But yeah, that definitely seemed to be, she was surprised, she was exhausted, but I wrote that she didn't seem too horrified because I wanted her to be more horrified.
Yeah, but you were like, send his ass home. But she was like, oh, Bennett, I liked you.
Yeah,
so she invites him in, they sit on the couch, and he says, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, and I spent the day going over and over in my head our parting. He apologizes again for making her think that he would question her integrity or decision-making ability. And he's like, sometimes you don't realize until things are gone, but I've realized that I love you. And Tayshia's like, oh my God, okay.
She's like, shit, okay, I guess I have to deal with this now.
She's like, I like hearing this, but also I want to be asleep right now. So many feelings. Basically, she's just like, I don't know what to say. I don't know, like, what's happening right now. I'm confused. I just need to think it over, basically. And Bennett is like, look, you have every ounce of my heart. I just want to stay for you. I would do anything in the world, but I don't expect an immediate answer. And, you know, this can, you know, just think about it. Let me know. And he says, I just wanted to see you again and share this with you because I'm dead serious about you. I haven't had emotions like this ever over a girl.
I'm like, my God, I feel bad for the woman that he was literally engaged to, like, less than a year ago. And yeah, he's 36 years old. I was like, Bennett.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. Yeah, that was a little like, wait, what? But I will say from being in his shoes, like, you know, I will say.
Going, and you went home around the same time. So you were like there for a while with Pete.
Yes. And I will say that when I was watching this, it was almost like, damn, because I could have saw myself doing the same thing, because there's like, again, because you have such little time, you get so wrapped up in what you want to talk about and like what you want to, you sometimes don't say exactly how you feel. And the truth is, when I went, yeah. when I left, I never told Peter that I was falling in love with him, but the truth is that I was, that I actually really, and especially after our one-on-one. So it was like, for me watching this, I was just like, oh my gosh, like it's so ballsy to do, because not only did someone like already send you home, you are like, I'm not going to have any pride here. I'm just going to go and actually tell you what I wanted to say that I didn't get a chance to say. Because also Bennett never had a one-on-one with her, right? So mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I really applaud him for coming back, because like I said, for me, I was like, in my head, it was like, I really have so many things to say to him. I mean, I literally have a note in my phone. I haven't told anyone this publicly, I don't think. But I literally have a note in my phone that I wrote to Peter, like on my way home. It's like a really long Aww. Note that like I said everything. But for me, it was like, you know, he sent me home, and that just means that he did not see me as his wife, and he probably had other relationships that were even deeper. So I have to process this, and I'm going to process how I feel, and I wish him well. But, you know, I didn't at the time. I was just like, I was feeling so many things, and I wish I could have had just like a real off camera me and him conversation, and I never did. So. Yeah. Going back and seeing Bennett go and say, look, I don't care about any of this stuff. I'm going to tell you how I feel. How we left was, it just felt wrong. And it was just like, I was so shocked when I got sent home. It was just, and there's so much, of course, that you guys don't see. And like I said, you guys didn't see a lot of our relationship, but I felt him so much. And I was just like, Bennett, oh, but like, this isn't going to end well. No. It's not going to end well. But at least you said how you felt.
It's not going to end well.
I feel like, at least you said how you felt.
I feel like Pilot Pete's season, because of how things have played out after, has been so revealing of the weird way that like timing and like setting function on the show, that like, you need to make the right revelations at the right yes. time. And if you don't, you know, you're out of there in a way that just like isn't the case in normal dating. Yes. And so then you've seen Peter kind of go back and have other relationships outside of the mm-hmm. show that couldn't thrive in that context. Right. And like, yeah, why should you have to make a so you find yourself in the setting of being like, I should say that I'm falling in love with him so that I don't regret not saying it, even if I'm still in a state right now of not being entirely sure it's true, just to give yourself that chance.
Well, yes.
And then if you don't, then you're like, I now I want to go back and say it.
Well, it's also like, you know, again, like for me, I knew how I felt, but it's so hard to express that when, like I said, you don't see someone for a while and then you see them again and you just want to be happy and you just want to be like, you just want to, like, you know, it's just like, you just want to like embrace that person.
Right. You're like, no, can we just like go on, like feel like a normal date exactly. right now, not like have another serious conversation.
Exactly.
And you obviously aren't privy to the machinations like of, you know, other, like if you saw all the pieces, you might be able to realize like, oh, I might be on my way out. I guess I should like explain what I'm
right.
feeling.
I had no idea.
You aren't privy
yeah,
to that.
I had no idea. And yeah. it was just like, I was feeling things intuitively and I'm like, he feels this too, right? Right, 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 right. And it's like, yeah, but he also feels it with so many other people. so that's, and in me, when you're in that position, you only feel how you feel. So it does. And I know I was on Twitter and some people were saying how Bennett is like selfish, how he was being selfish, but you kind of are selfish in that environment because you only really know how you feel. Like you're yeah. always wondering how your bachelor or your bachelorette feels, because you don't know the ins and outs of these other relationships. So it's a really hard place to be in and cipher through your feelings, especially if you've had like time by yourself to really think and like, or cry or whatever the thing is.
Yeah, he's writing himself so many unsent emails.
Yes!
Which Natasha, I totally relate to the phone notes thing. I think the last time I went through a breakup, I still have like a thing from a few years ago on my phone, just like a bunch of word vomit that I never shared with the person who dumped me.
Yes.
But it's very cathartic. Yes. So, but you know, you're right. I think like we can feel some empathy for Bennett. I do see why he did it. He clearly was very shocked that he got sent home. But from the outside, you're like, Bennett, you dug yourself such a hole and this is not going to go well, and you're just going to get rejected again.
Yeah.
And this is also, it's the classic like rom-com versus stalking thing where like, if you like the guy and you're rooting for him, then you might read something as very sweet and romantic that if you really hate him, you might read it as like, stop, like, just don't do it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's human nature. Not liking Bennett very much, to me, it's very difficult not to read this as like a sort of self-serving, mm-hmm. like unnecessary waste of time. But from his perspective, if he very genuinely thinks that he's in love with Tayshia, you know, why not give her the opportunity of a lifetime to give him another chance? Like, if it's a contestant that I really like, I'd be into that. So, like, it's my bias here. And Tayshia is clearly torn. She's torn because she had feelings for Bennett and because he is pulling a move that she's always wanted a guy to pull. He's showing up for her, he's making a romantic move, and he's saying that he loves her. And those are very seductive things, especially from a guy that you're attracted to and that you have had really wonderful moments with. And it's true. Get that. Yeah. So what's she going to do?
Torn. We end on a cliffhanger. I think I know what she's going to do. I think he's still going home. But this does bring us to the end of our episode. And this has been so much fun, Natasha. I'm so happy that we could make this work and that you were able to hang out with us virtually.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much for having me, guys. This was a lot of fun.
And do you want to tell everyone listening where they can find you and your podcast?
Yes. So I have been co-hosting with Tayshia, our bachelorette, and Grocery Store Joe, as everybody knows him, on Clickbait. It's Clickbait with Bachelor Nation, and you guys can find that on Instagram at ClickbaitBN. And I am also at Natasha Parker on Instagram. I also do my tea rooms on Wednesdays. Later on tonight, I will do one. I basically pick someone. Normally, they're from my season, but other people from Bachelor Nation, and we talk about what they have going on. The last one I did was with Kendall. She just wrote a book. We talk about the episode a little bit, and then we get into like what they have going on. It's just fun little conversations with my boos, that the people that have been really sweet in Bachelor Nation, and the fans really like it. So, you also can find me there on Wednesdays. It's normally Wednesday. Sometimes I do it. Once I did it on the weekend, but normally Wednesdays around 6 o'clock PST. And I'm on Twitter also. It's Natasha JP. Is that my Instagram? Is that my Twitter name? I don't even know. I'm barely on Twitter. It's fine. Barely on Twitter. More so Instagram. But this has been so much fun. Thank you guys.
Thank you. We'll have to do it again. Much. And when you're back in New York and after, you know, we can be around humans again. Hopefully we can have dinner or drinks or something.
It's
indoors, maybe.
Yeah, it's like a
we'll come full circle.
Exactly. Is that gonna be Corona? Let us know. 10 years? 20 years?
Yeah.
We'll be waiting.
Yes.
One day.
Penciling you guys into my calendar for 2020.
Exactly.
So this week, there weren't really any feminism fails, so we're going to kind of skip that segment. There was just some, you know, general obnoxiousness, and I think we addressed that well in the recap. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to our wonderful guest, Natasha Parker, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod, and you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back next week to recap the next episode of The Bachelorette.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.